welcome back to Bold and Body. This is Maddie, and I'm here with my wonderful co-hosts.
Lena D's in the house.
Hey, it's Wesley, and I'm going to listen to Akon, because I'm locked up.
By who?
The Heat?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think my favorite weather reports are always when they're like, this is oppressive heat.
Yeah, oppressive heat.
I'm locked up by the heat.
Just in case y'all hear like,
shit is mad oppressive.
Yo, just in case y'all hear a low hum right now, we got these fans going, and I haven't turned these up to max because I don't want to F up your listening experience right now. So we kind of suffering a little bit, but we suffering for y'all. So, you know,
I'm keep not us suffering. I'm good.
I'm suffering right here in this corner right now.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, they put me in the
anyway,
corner.
This so, we know that you did not tune in to hear Wesley talk about how hot he is.
Yeah.
And not in the good way.
No, in a good way, because I am hot. All the ladies,
no,
come here.
Not just, at all.
DM me. One DM. Just one.
He's like, please? Just one DM?
Just one.
Anybody?
Just
somebody?
Somebody. I'm going to have to start name calling to all the Instagram.
Oh, but no, that's just
going to call out the, his followers. Yeah, and be like,
hey.
Anyway, so episode today, what we're going to be talking about is for our working individuals, the people that are about to start working.
Oh, I work.
Our recent grads. Graduation season is just about over right now.
A long time
so,
ago. Like 10 yeah. years ago.
I said graduation season, not for you.
Season, like season. People were graduating like, this past month.
Oh, I mean,
people that just got their degrees
7-10 years
no,
ago.
No, we're
shit.
Not talking about you.
Nobody cares about you.
It's all about me.
No, it's
anyway,
not.
So, this is something that kind of in line with our equal pay episode, where we want to talk about more on the corporate side and mm-hmm. things that affect us just a little closely. And it is the catchphrase of all HR offices, work-life balance. Mm. If you haven't heard that yet, you need to get a different job or talk to your HR because they fucking with you. I'm sorry to be the one to let you know.
There's no such thing.
Of as work-life balance?
Yeah.
Actually, we're going to get into that.
To be.
Because I did actually read an article by a woman who said it's a myth. Like, y'all need to stop lying to yourselves. But it was actually pretty good.
He told the truth.
But if you have not heard about work-life balance or have never stopped to really care to know what it means, work-life balance is defined as the balance that an individual needs between time allocated for work and other aspects of life. So areas of life other than work can be, but are not limited to personal interests, family, and social or legal activities.
Leisure.
Leisure. My bad. Did I say legal?
Yes.
My bad.
I was like,
because sometimes there might be some illegal activities that you like to do in your free time. I'm just saying. I'm here for all of y'all. But this came from Wikipedia. Maybe that's why, because I realize that it's from Wikipedia and not from Webster. And y'all know how I feel. I am not cheating on you, Webster. Like, they fed me this.
She's cheating.
This fake definition.
Fake news.
It's not real. I'm going to look
the
up Webster later.
The definition that you made up with the legal activities.
I'm just out here for my entrepreneurs who might not be doing things legally.
Offshore or, taxes.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You know.
Tax scheming.
Paying people under the table. Whatever the case. Whatever. All right. Either way, the proper term should have been leisure activities. I apologize. I misspoke. I guess this heat is getting to me. Anyway. So we wanted to talk about essentially what work-life balance is, how it affects us, and just some tips that we have for you guys just to make sure you're able to strike that balance.
It's important. Like, I know that some people are just like, oh, what do you mean work-life balance? And the thing is, I really much think that work-life balance is defined how you want to define it.
Because, legal or illegal activities, exactly.
Okay, yeah, that, I could. If your illegal activities are keeping you afloat, I mean, do you, boo?
Wow.
But
this is a judgment-free zone.
But what I mean by like they're determined by you is that nobody knows your productivity and when you are your like your productivity levels and when you're at your highest productivity than yourself, and so the whole 9-to-5 thing is kind of a facade, because we all really know that a 9-to-5 doesn't really exist for most people that work in corporate.
It's 9-to-6.
No, it's supposed to be a 9-to-5.
Supposed to be.
Right. So that's what I'm saying.
I work 9-to-5.
Well, okay, Mr. Government.
That's right. I'm a secret agent, man.
But for those of us that are in corporate, a 9-to-5 doesn't really exist.
You lucky one to talk shit. Go ahead.
Say because what you gotta say. You're also full of shit, because if they told you that there was some issue right now, you would have to go in.
Of course, but I get paid for that overtime. I get paid okay. for that.
So, yeah, what's, so what you're trying
it's still not a 9-to-5.
What you trying to say?
They and never if you're on salary, either. You don't really get overtime. Look, so again,
you got a pat on the back.
Good job.
You're like, good job. You were expected
good
to
job,
do that.
Good job, Stacey. You,
I don't
you
even
really
think you get a good job.
You just get like you were expected to do.
Yeah.
You put a lot of work in.
You were late. It's a Saturday.
You. But anyway, going back to what I'm, the point that I'm making here is that you have to be very clear about what that work-life thing means for you. Mm-hmm. Because if you're most productive in the evening and you want to schlep yourself to work at 10:30, some places aren't going to be a fan of that. Like if you work like 10:30 to 7 or something, or 10:38, whatever the right time mm-hmm. would be. But I'm just saying, some people like that. And so from a corporate standpoint, there is a traditional 9-to-5, which means like they really want you to get there early, like people setting 8 a.m. meetings, but then they're setting 6 p.m. meetings. Like, come on.
Or the 9 or 10 o'clock meetings because we have to talk to China. I hate that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's just a quick sidebar for because clearly we're in our feelings. But it's not just for people that are working 9-to-5. I think it's anyone that's working 40 hours. So if you have that set schedule and you know you have the weekends off or Monday and Tuesday off, whatever days off that you have, like this is for everyone. Anyone can find a work-life balance. It's a matter of identifying what that balance looks like for you.
Right. And so what I like to call it is work-life integration. Because
integration, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I am actually very comfortable switching on and off between like work and doing something personal at the same time.
All right.
I'm much more productive when I multitask on different things. Okay. Whereas like if I'm forced to focus on one thing from 9-to-5,
well,
I ain't gonna be focusing on the thing I'm supposed to be focusing
oh,
on
man,
from
you
9
can't,
to 5.
You can't work in IT because sometimes it's just one thing.
Nah,
that's
chill.
That's like hounding you for like a good part of the day. And you're like, oh shit, I fixed that. All right, great. I can move on to my other projects now. But that's like few and far between. It's like when there's a production down issue.
And Wesley be like, he's like, what's lunch?
Nah, but what's lunch? I don't, what you talking about?
Like, it'll be like, it's 6-7 o'clock. I haven't eaten anything yet
because
I was busy. And I was like, how do you forget to eat?
Because like sometimes, I don't know. For me, like I like a good problem that I can solve. And then when I solve it, sometimes it takes me all day. And
that's when he realized he's like,
oh shit,
it's Wednesday.
Oh shit, I gotta eat. I forgot my stomach exists too. So
yeah, I don't forget my stomach be existing. It just reminds me. It's like, hello, it's 1 o'clock. Feed me.
I have moments. I'm kind of in the middle. But I think it is key to knowing how you work best, and finding a way to get that out of your job. That's the part that's not always easy, which is why we wanted to talk about this.
Yeah. Work-life today. Balance.
And so just some general trends for people to kind of get a sense, especially if you haven't really worked in corporate before. But there are different surveys that are done. They do like, you know, the Gallup does a state of American workplace. There's surveys that kind of try to get a sense of whether employees are happy. Pretty sure if you're working in a corporate environment, there is some sort of study that talks about this, about your particular company. But according to Gallup, 53% of employees say that it's important, or there is a role within like having an achievement of a greater work-life balance, and that attributes to their personal well-being, and that is something of value to them. And we know that within that work-life balance, being that I just talked about a different way of how I view work-life balance, it becomes a little challenging to really have a one-size-fits-all approach to work-life balance. And to Maddie's point about getting the work-life balance that works the best for you is important, because then that's a part of what you have to make sure that you're making clear with your management and your teams so that you're most effective and you're able to progress in your career. And so one of the trends that that's kind of like relevant within all of these different components of work-life balance, because again, it's going to vary around life stage. So for one of the ones for me that I think is interesting is like the whole concept of kids versus no kids. And so
I want no damn kids.
So obviously, like, parents, people that have children have a high value on flexible work arrangements because they either want to go pick up their child from daycare or they want to pick them up from school, or if their after school programs end like before 5 o'clock, like obviously, like, you have to be running out of the office to go pick them up. And so then 80% of people say that because of that, it's something that they consider highly when they're looking for a job. And the part of that that I kind of disagree with is that I don't think you should necessarily need to have a child in order to have flexible work arrangements. And so most of the time in some corporate environments, it's like, if you don't have a child, then you're being questioned as to why you're trying to leave work at 4 o'clock. But if you're commuting somewhere that takes you 2.5 hours to drive to during peak traffic, that if you left at, like, let's say 3:45 or 4, your commute would be 1 hour and 15 minutes. It's like, why not?
Yeah, like, I'm just saying, I'm trying to get home to watch this Handmaid. So why are you trying to fuck with me right now?
Well, see, the thing for me, it's like, I don't want to be stuck in 2.5 hours of traffic when I'm not doing jack shit. I'd rather leave and drive my ass home in 1 hour and 15 minutes. And then, you know what? Around 7 o'clock, after I've gotten to the gym or after I've eaten something at home that's healthy, I can log back on my computer. That's why there's VPN. That's why there's technology. But a lot of places don't see that as legit work because you're not showing FaceTime.
Yeah. And you do have, it's just more understanding for parents than it is for singles.
You need to invent a fake child.
Or even people that.
There you go.
That was not part of the advice that we're going to give.
That's not, that is not valid bold and body advice.
It is not.
They invent
not
a fake child
endorsed by,
and then be like, you know, my husband has custody or some shit like that.
But beyond just children, I think it's just being a caregiver, because you also have people that are taking care of their parents,
right?
You know, they have somebody in the family that's sick,
yeah.
So they need to have that flexibility also. And for some reason, if it's a temporary thing, then more places are okay. Just like, oh, I just need to do this for like 3 weeks.
Wow.
It's like, okay. But if you're saying, hey, I just don't feel like sitting in traffic every day for an extra hour, can I leave early? It's just like, no. For what? Like, that's not considered valid.
What the hell are you talking about? Get to work.
And there is that expectation that if you're single or you don't have children or anybody else to take care of, that your work should be your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you see that across not just corporate work, just in the working world. And it's pretty obnoxious.
I think it's more predominant in corporate, though, because there isn't the whole clock in, clock out culture. So when you're clocking in at a particular time and you're expected to only work 8 or 9 hours and then you clock out, like, you kind of have a fallback, which is your clock in, clock out time, right?
So here's where I'm going to challenge you on that.
Eight.
It's in terms of having flexibility in your schedule.
Oh.
So let's use the example of, I need to pick up my kids from work. If I say, hey, can I work this morning shift that'll let me get out in time to go pick up my kid? But if I want to also work a morning shift and I don't have a kid,
right,
then okay, I'm not going to get that flexibility. It's just like, well, Susan needs to go pick up little Tommy, you just don't have shit to do.
You're just trying to go to this twerk fest that starts at 5. Yeah.
Whatever you single people do. Right?
Man, y'all need to transition to this like public lifestyle, because the work is just as challenging, but they have like set hours where you do certain things. And if you go over those certain hours, you know, for certain types of positions, they pay overtime or they give you comp time.
But I'm saying some people don't want the overtime. They want that. They want their time. Yeah. I don't want to have to work for you. And it's great that I'm going to get OT. Mm-hmm. But who's going to that OT is not going to help me if I'm going to be sitting in traffic for 3.5 hours now. Yeah, that makes sense. It's not going to help me if I'm not going to be able to go meet up with somebody or whatever the case might be because of this. So I see what you're saying, but it's just like it works in both corporate and non-corporate environments where it's just like people that don't have kids or are not caretakers, we need the time too.
Oh, okay. I will say this though. There are certain positions that if you work in, you just have to clock in 35 hours and that's it. So no matter how you get those 35 hours, it's up to you and your manager. But as long as you get the 35 hours in, you're good money.
And so then that's flexible. So
getting that flexibility.
That's good.
Because I'm in one of those types of positions where I work 35
hours. You are, but not everybody has that.
Good money.
Like in corporate during busy season, I worked in tax.
Right.
During busy season where I say, hey, I was in school. Like that was legit. I was working on my MBA. And I'm just like, hey, on Tuesdays, I need to leave by 4 o'clock so I could make it and cross fucking state lines so I can get to my class on time.
Right.
And they're just like, it's busy season. I'm just like, I paid for this shit.
Yeah.
Out of pocket. I'm going
to go. I'm going.
There isn't always that kind of understanding where it's just like, technically I'm going to get my 40 hours in because I'm going to come in early. I'm going to stay late other days that I don't have class. But I had managers who were just like, where are you going?
Right.
And even when I was like, I will log back in. I will get in early so I can have this call with India. I will stay late so I can have this call with the China team. And it's just like, okay, that's cute. But where are you going right now?
Maybe that's just an IT thing where it's just like, we're part of like that white collar group, but kind of not really in the same time because we still do kind of like some manual labor. There's a little bit of that involved too. So I guess a lot of times when it comes to that flexibility, we tend to have more flexibility because we know somebody else is going to cover for us in the case that we're not there. So maybe I think that might be just an IT thing. I don't know. I haven't dealt with other like business functions to know that if it's different.
It's very much a culture thing of like the organization, the team, your manager. Because like you're saying, your manager was like, oh, well, yeah, I expect you to do that. But like, where are you going?
Yeah.
So, regardless.
Whoa, what the fuck?
I'm still going to be online until 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Yeah, as soon as I get out of class, I'm going to log back in. It's just like, yeah, because we're going to be in the office anyway. Fuck you.
But then that's the thing. It's like and the thing is, like, this is where it's important for people to ask the right questions or at least to negotiate the right terms.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not upfront about what it is that you need in order to be your most productive self,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to start changing your life for a job that, yeah, it's paying you and it's giving you money, but then eventually it becomes too late to negotiate whatever it is that you wanted to do because you're already known for doing that stuff.
Yeah, that's when I start playing hooky. Like, it's just like, all right, you know what? I'm going to take a day off to get my mind right. You know, watch this Netflix and chill by myself, and that's it. So I'm not trying to play no games with you guys.
But some people get fired.
And that's the point, because not everybody has that ability to do that.
Some people get fired for calling in more than, like, let's say if they have 3 sick days and they've actually legitimately been sick before, and let's say that they need a mental health day, because some people do need a mental health day. That's what you're talking to.
Yeah.
Some people in some jobs will get fired for that.
Wow.
Because they've exceeded the number of sick days that they had.
Or people feel like it's not a valid excuse.
What do you mean?
Like, bring me a doctor's note. That's not the Christian thing to say.
Don't say that to your manager.
That, again, is not endorsed by Bold and Barney.
Yacoubi and Chad can get away with that. Maddie, okay? Brown Maddie cannot say eat a dick.
Is that my name now? Brown Maddie?
Brown Maddie, okay?
White
Chad and Brown Maddie. Like, let's
think
about it.
Let's not do that. But
manager, eat a dick.
But that actually brings off to this whole thing like flexibility and time off, right? Mm-hmm. So there is like this phenomena.
Yeah.
And like, Wesley, I want to hear what your thoughts on it.
About
where
what?
People like talk about oh, I can't use all of my vacation.
Bullshit.
Well, I can only speak for myself when I say this. Like, I can see how, okay, there's two sides to this. I can see how your work is kind of like your livelihood and you enjoy doing it, so you don't mind. Because I'm one of those guys that's just like, even when I am on vacation, like, I'll catch myself on my email.
Oh my gosh.
Checking my email.
It's terrible.
You know, like, but I thoroughly enjoy what I do, so I don't mind doing that. But I also need to learn how to, like, disconnect completely and just enjoy the time that I have. And then there are those people who are just like, you know, fuck. Like, what Maddie was saying, that she, like, their business model has, like, this busy time and they can't take off. And then sometimes stuff happens even after the busy time where they have to reconcile numbers and shit like that with the profit forecasters and shit.
Yeah, we just so tell that you have no idea what I do.
No, I don't. So basically,
I'm listening to this and I'm just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I know you do some project management / finance type work. So it's just kind of out there.
I do it all.
And I used to work in profit forecasting, so that's where he's getting that from.
Okay, that's what he's doing. He's taking a mashup of what we do.
But no, because I have somebody like at the place that I work at who does profit forecasting and does some project management work. So it's a little bit of both, because I end up getting caught in that because of where I am in the totem pole. So I have to end up talking to him about numbers and shit. And I hate talking about numbers, but whatever. So there's one of those guys where it's just like, shit, I gotta be here. I don't have a choice. If I leave here for like 3 days, my whole world's gonna burn down. Mm-hmm. And I can't take off because I can't afford my whole world to burn down, even when I got like 3 or 4 or 5 weeks off that I can use. I understand the opposite ends of the spectrum there, but there's sometimes that, like, not sometimes, there always has to be a happy medium with that. So
I completely disagree with everything you just said.
Why you say that?
Because I used to be that person that would go on vacation, bring my work laptop with me, like, give ways to contact me. And I set the expectation that even when I am going on vacation, I am going to be available to you.
That's cute.
And I was like, and then I did that very early in my career and then realized that, what the fuck am I doing? Because one, I'm not taking the whole company on vacation with me.
Yeah.
There's still other motherfuckers sitting there that I can transfer knowledge to.
Yeah.
That know the same shit that I know.
Yeah.
Because people in your company should be knowing what the hell is going on. It's not like you're keeping information to yourself and harboring it.
Right.
If you are, you're probably not doing your job right.
Yeah, that's true.
And so then what I started to realize is, one, if I'm a people leader, right, I need to empower my people to do work when I'm not there.
No, yeah. I understand. No.
And then the second thing is, too, is that my time off is my time off.
Right.
Just like the time that I am working, either sitting in the office or commuting 2 hours to get to the office or going to one of our agencies or whatever it is that I'm doing, my time there, I am present. And so therefore, I now set the expectation for myself that I am going to be present on my time off as well.
Right, right.
And so I'm a big advocate of telling people, have processes in place, have designated owners of the work streams that you would normally take care of, and also be clear about that with your management in the offset. Like, I'm going to be unavailable. I'm traveling. I'm going to, like, be international. I'm not going to have anywhere to, like, connect, or I'm not bringing my laptop with me. I've left Jackie instructions on what to do. And these are the crucial things that you need. Send it in an email, which I am while I'm out. This is what you need.
Yep.
And then that's it. Like, I'm a big proponent that if you're going to have the right integration, there's also boundaries to that integration.
No, most definitely. But even so, like I said, for me, I think it's more of like, not really so much the vacation time, because I can take that at any time. It's just that for me, it's just a little hard to disconnect because I'm passionate about what I do.
That's different.
And that's see, that's what I'm saying. That's different, because it's just like, okay, I see this email, I know the answers, so let me just respond, because it's so much easier if I respond. But I have to keep in mind that, like, you know, I can't keep taking shine away from the people who do work under me and all that good stuff. So
yeah.
So that's, it's still for me been a learning process for me to slowly disconnect out when I'm on vacation.
But in terms of like the leaving vacation on the table, mm-hmm. like you're still actively,
I'm still actively going taking vacation.
On vacation.
And I as a manager, and I'll say as a manager, I actively tell people, if you have time, take it off.
Yeah. So what we, Project Time Off did a survey in 2017, or their report from based on research done in 2017 found that 54% of Americans didn't use all of their vacation time.
I can believe that.
Like 54%.
That's way too
much.
And
it's like, you're telling people, okay, now you have this time off. It's available to you, mm-hmm. but most people still aren't using it or still aren't using all of it.
Right.
And in a lot of states, and with a lot of companies also, it's use it or lose it. Mm-hmm. So what that amounts to is 662 million vacation days that were left on the table in 2017. So if people were to use that vacation time, it would have generated $128 billion, with a B, billion dollars in direct spending. And the impact on the overall economy in the U.S., again, this is just focused on the U.S., would have been $236 billion. Hmm. So that's how much is being lost to the economy by people not taking their vacation time. This is not even considering how it's affecting their mental health, how it's affecting their productivity, mm-hmm. because studies have also found that by taking your vacation time, you come back refreshed.
Yeah.
You come back refreshed and you actually do better work.
What I
like your productivity actually increases.
Yeah.
Now, of course, if you're like checking email sporadically on vacation, right. that's one thing.
Right.
But being feeling like you're tied to your desk, that actually hurts you.
Right.
Like in your performance, in your health, in everything, in your family life, everything's going to be affected by how you're managing that.
What I've learned how to do, and I think this just, you know, maybe comes from just age and just more wisdom as I've worked in my own field, is that now I know kind of like, it's kind of like the basketball player, right? When they first start out, they like to go hard all the time. Mm-hmm. But then as they get older, they know how to kind of turn it on and turn it off. So I've learned how to give 50% or give 70% or give 100%. If the 100% is needed. So I've learned how to kind of spare the energy a little bit unless it's really needed. Kind of like a way of kind of saving myself. So that way mentally I don't feel drained, but not a lot of people know how to do that. Yeah. Now, I don't know a lot of people now to go to their desk and just say, you know what, today I'm going to give 50%. Like I'm going to barely work on this thing right now and then work on this thing a little bit. It that comes with like age and wisdom, but that's just me personally. I don't know if anybody thinks about it like the way I do.
No, but I mean, again, it's one of the things that we want to cover, and to people that are just starting out,
right.
or that haven't identified how to do that,
right?
Like I know what I would do, especially when it comes time to taking my vacations. Mm-hmm. If I know I'm going to take a longer vacation, I'll stack my time,
right?
So I'm like, I might not travel at the beginning of the year because I know I want to take longer vacations at the end of the year. Yep. But in between that, in that long stretch where I'm not traveling, I'll take a Monday off.
Yeah.
I'll take a Friday off.
Yeah.
Like a day here and there, but making sure I still have my time stacked.
Right.
And then on top of that, it's being strategic about when you take your time off. Like, you know your industry. So I know if I'm in tax during busy season between mid-January and April 15th or whatever the tax deadline is,
right.
my ass isn't going on vacation.
Yep.
Because people are going to be like, what are you doing? And I also know that by the time I come back, my inbox is going to be crazy.
Yep.
You know? So it's just like, don't take vacation during this time. But if I know everybody and their mama goes away for the holidays,
that's when you do it too.
I'm going to take a vacation over the holidays.
Right.
So it's like you learn your industry, you learn the environment and your corporate culture, and you use that to your benefit.
Right.
And if it's going to be a situation where you're going to be expected, because I know I've gone on vacations. I want to say I was in Malaysia And I knew that we had this huge client meeting on the first day that I was going to have landed. So I'm just like, I will be available in the morning, my time, like Malaysian time. I'll be available for this meeting and for this call. After that, don't even try to reach me.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah. This is what you get.
Yeah. Lena D said it's about setting those boundaries.
Yep.
And knowing like what's going to affect you. And unfortunately, it gets to the point where people get burnt out, that they decide, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. But it could have been something they were passionate about.
Right.
Like, I know people that work in tax and they're just like, I couldn't do corporate tax. Like, I couldn't do it in this corporate environment because it was just too much. But they're also the people that never took vacations and were always there and were just like the first one in and the last one out.
Yeah, but when you're young, like,
you have to...
When you're young, you got something to prove, though. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you have to find that balance.
Yeah, but we all been there. Like, we young, you know, we feel
like...
And
that's what they tell you, especially, like, when you're starting your internships and everything. First one in, last one out. Don't be here. Like, if your boss is here, you should still be here. It's like, nah.
When you're young, like, I feel like when you're young, though, like, when you get that first role where it's giving you, like, more money than you've ever seen in your life, although you know when you get older, you're going to make more money than you've seen in your life. At that point too, like what we as minorities don't tell each other is, one, we don't tell each other how much we weigh, like, which I wish I had, like, somebody told me how much I made. Number two, another thing that we don't really tell each other is that you don't need to be that kind of person. You just need to show more initiative, or you need to show more action, but that action doesn't have to be you spending 14 hours of the day at work. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that kind of...
Literally my point.
Yeah, I think that kind of...
He literally cut me off to say exactly what I was saying.
My bad. I'm sorry.
But I was going to say that...
You fucking mansplained me.
My bad. I'm so sorry for the toxic masculinity.
Me with my deeper man voice. Let me explain exactly what you were trying to say.
I'm so sorry for the toxic masculinity that just...
You better be sorry.
That just happened right here.
But anyway, Maddie, you had something to say.
Apologies, Maddie.
He already said everything. Thank you,
sir. You don't have
anything
to add to own it and make it your own.
It's your own. That's actually Maddie's explanation.
The whole point was...
That wasn't mine.
That's what we're trying to tell people that don't have a grasp or understand that. It's just like, especially when you're looking at how your manager views you, mm-hmm. they're actually going to respect you more if you're able to get everything done mm-hmm. within that fixed amount of time that you're supposed to be there, versus be like, oh my God, I was here until 11 o'clock last night.
It's like,
because usually
you?
Your manager's going to look at you. It's just like, well, what were you doing that made you take so long to get all of that work done?
It makes you look a little bit inept a bit.
Yeah. It does.
And so then I actually think that this is like a generational thing mm-hmm. because to Wesley's point around, you know, you were here for 14 hours or you thought you had to prove that you were there for 14 hours. It's a very old school way of thinking.
Yep.
Whereas what I would have told my younger self is don't work harder, work smarter.
Yeah.
And working smarter has a lot to do with leveraging your peers. And like people would say this to me before, like, oh, you have to leverage each other. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And so a lot, like literally what that literally means is that you just go around talking to people.
White people way of saying you need to talk.
You literally just go and talk to people. Like you have a certain thing you're working on. Okay.
You find the people that are better at it.
Yeah.
Do it better and more efficiently.
Yeah.
Whatever their strength is. And you use that to your advantage. Not like you're using them because it's still for your overall goal.
Right. Or like you trade stuff. Like today I'll hear something and I'll be like, oh, someone will ask me, Lena D, can you go do blah, blah, blah? And I was like, wait, what's the ask? And I'll say, I actually know such and such that can do this. So therefore, I am going to speak to such and such and delegate this to them.
That's right.
I don't go on and actually try to resolve it on my own and spend like 5 hours trying to figure out how to do it. So, and like, that's something that I would have done early in my career is just like, I have to figure it out because I need to prove myself. It's like, bullshit. You need to figure out your org structure. And then that's how you prove yourself.
Exactly. That's the only thing I was going to say. It's don't go to your boss and ask them to do stuff. What we're saying is find your peers, people in at least one level of, no more than one level above where you're at, or the same level that you're at, and ask them for assistance. And even then, they might be like, well, why don't you ask this person who's a level up? Because I know I recently, I'm good at Excel. Like, Excel happens to be a strength of mine, right? My senior manager comes in and she's just like, I've been struggling with this worksheet for forever. And I'm just like, well, what do you need? And she's like, oh, I'm just going to have to send it over to India. And then it's going to take like a day because it's already like midday for us. So they're not going to get it back to me. And I'm just like, well, send it over to me and I could take a look at it. Literally within 5 minutes, I got it done, where she had been working on it for hours, struggling with it. And I'm just like, oh, you could just do this. And it's like, I'm done. She's like, what the fuck? And she's just like, talk to people and find out what their strengths are. So while you're sitting here struggling with something, there's somebody that's literally sitting right next to you that could have looked over and been like, oh, control, alt, delete. Or whatever the case might be. It's just like, leverage your people, leverage that, understand your corporate culture or just the company culture and that environment so that you're able to not lose yourself.
Yeah.
And end up being burnt out, not taking any of your vacation time because you think that you have something to prove. Mm-hmm. And I feel, especially in corporate life, like you find so many people end up going to private sector because it's just like there's more work-life balance and it's not as demanding.
Right.
But by then they've already, like you said, it's just like by then they're more experienced.
Right.
And they're just like, I'm not doing all this shit. Mm-hmm. I'm not staying here. It's like you're happier because you learned from that bad experience before.
Right. And I feel like, and not even I feel like, but a lot of the people who are going to listen to what I'm saying are going to, they're going to understand what I'm trying to say. Maybe you guys not so much, but I think you guys will. But I always look at Kobe Bryant. And now you're like, wow, why would you look at Kobe Bryant? Because
are you trying to say that we don't get the reference because we're women and we don't watch sports?
No. It's not. It has nothing to do with that. I didn't even say that. And I was like, me, I said, you probably guys will get the reference about what I'm saying. Anyway, so.
You get the ill side eye until you finish your statement.
It doesn't matter. I'm still going to explain what I'm saying. So you can side eye me all you want.
I said until you finish.
All right. So as Kobe's game, as he was in the league, his game evolved. And you can tell by the end, I would say maybe closer to the end, you can tell that he had moves like Michael Jordan. He had moves of his current players like Dirk Nowitzki, and he had moves like Hakeem Olajuwon with the little fadeaway jumper that he integrated in his own, you know, sachet of stuff that he did to make him a better player. And I would say for all the young whippersnappers coming up, is to the young whippersnappers that are coming up right now is to, you know, integrate good habits of like people that you meet, whether they're your peers or who you look up to or who manage you, into your own, because it only makes you a better person when that next role comes around or that next promotion is about to come out. So that's something that I wish that I had coming up. I had to learn that a little bit of the hard way, in terms of more of the interpersonal stuff. Mm. But when now I feel like I'm a better person because, you know, I did have to learn the hard way, but I wanted to tell somebody like, hey, if this is how you want to do, move this way. But that has nothing to do with like vacation time. I know, but I feel like that's some decent advice that I wanted to give out. So
okay.
Do it as you may.
He's like, I know there was no point in saying this, but I just wanted to say it anyway. So you're going to listen to this.
Yeah. So
take it or leave it. No, but within the realm of vacation time, is family leave, whether that's maternity or paternity leave. I'm going to talk more so about paternity leave just because it's a novelty in the U.S. right now. And it's just
way too much of a novel. Like, some people are doing backflips.
Some people just like, heard me say paternity leave and they're like, what? That's a thing?
It's like yeah. Why do parents, dads gotta leave too?
Like, mothers get maternity leave. Like, since when do dads need time off also? And well, they do
since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
Except we're ass backwards when it comes to people.
And we touched on this, like you touched on this very briefly, where you're talking about the difference within our generations. Now our grandparents our parents' generation, it's just like it was more expected that the man would always be working. But now, as you're entering more into the millennials, you're seeing dads that are just like, no, I want to be there and be present for my kids and participate in whatever activities it is, not just on the weekends. Mm-hmm. So they're expecting to have more flexibility in their work schedules and in their work arrangements. So we did find a study. Oh, I have to find the numbers. I just had it. Boom. Okay. So 50% of dads say that caregiving for their children should be 50-50.
Yeah, of course.
Not that it should just all fall on the mother.
Most definitely.
Which is a common misconception.
Yeah.
But it's like bigger now throughout our generation where it's just like, no, child rearing is not just up to the mother anymore. Nah. It's just like, this is, we a team. You going to change diapers too.
I want to be for my, I mean, like 50%
of this child is yours. Exactly. I didn't make it by my damn self.
But we're seeing this shift in the culture.
Man, you want me to get the babysit you? The fuck?
I'm just saying, like, you see the shift in the culture, but that shift hasn't translated into companies.
Right.
And the kind of leave and flexibility that they're offering to fathers. Again, maternity leave, we've all heard of it. It still feels like it's a myth and it's a unicorn within the U.S. because in comparison to other countries, the U.S. has absolutely no governmental requirement to offer maternity leave. Whereas, I think it was Estonia, mandatory 82 weeks.
You know what's crazy to me?
Mandatory.
Though? Yeah, you know what's crazy to me about some of that stuff, though, is just that these U.S. companies will offer people of other countries or other that live in other continents.
You mean expats?
Expats. That same amount of vacation time as if they were in the, because they have to, but they won't do that here because they want to save money.
And that's the point. I think that's what you missed. Yeah. It's a governmental requirement in these countries. The U.S. doesn't have that requirement.
Right.
So if I have somebody from another country working here, they're still held to the standards of the country of origin.
Right.
So that's not going to change. Like, they're still paying taxes there. They're still under those books. So they're still going to be under those laws. It doesn't matter if they're working here. Right. So if a woman comes from Estonia, comes and she's working for a U.S. corporation in the U.S., mm-hmm. she gets pregnant, she's going to get 82 weeks of paid leave.
Right.
That's just how it works. But if it's a U.S. employee that's working overseas, mm-hmm. it's not going to work the same way because the U.S. doesn't have any requirements in that same way.
I guess then I'd have to ask a question that is related to this, honestly. What would you say to somebody like Ivanka Trump who would tell women in one breath that they're part of the backbone of the economy, blah, 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 but then like would say in the same breath that she won't give an answer as to whether or not women or and men or parents deserve paid paternity leave or paid maternity leave as well? What would you say to that?
Well, that's exactly what we're talking about. It's like the fact that there is no requirement. And as a society, we're acknowledging that it should be equal mm-hmm. in terms of contributing to raising children.
Right.
Men should be contributing the same amount of time and effort and energy into raising their children as most women.
Definitely. Yeah.
But if there's no requirement, it's easier. Most companies, even though there's no federal requirement, most companies will say you could take 2, 3, 4 weeks of maternity leave, but they don't offer that same thing to men because right. the woman just bore the child,
right.
right? She just has to go through that. The guy in their heads is just like, he was just standing there. So she's going through all of that. You could bring your ass back to work. And it's, if you want to have this social structure mm-hmm. of family first, then it has to translate across society, not just in your home,
right.
but in your workplace as well. Like, I can't provide for my family and be there for them if you're not going to give me that kind of flexibility.
Right.
So this is the kind of flexibility that you're seeing demanded more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to that statement around, oh, women are the backbone of the economy and then oh, but I can't comment on whether you should get paid for your maternity or paternity leave.
Right.
It's really trying to have your cake and eat it too. Yeah. It's like you're basically trying to encourage women to go out and work, which I think, I mean, what else are you going to do? Like, I mean, like you got to live, right? Like, yeah. It's not like you have the choice not to work.
Right.
Whereas like when you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth, you have the choice to not work. And so therefore,
and not have to worry about getting evicted or being able to feed your kid.
Right.
Or any of
so
that.
Like the whole point, the whole statement in and on its own is very tone deaf because she doesn't have to worry about the things that most women need to worry about.
Right.
But then to say, oh, well, you should be working, but if you're going to have a family, I don't know what to tell you about making ends meet. It's just super tone deaf. Like, so like it's the fact that you have people that have no government work experience working in the government because she supports Trump. It's her father. Like she's there in these global meetings and dictating her opinions on policy that have no grounds in reality.
Yeah.
And so therefore it's like you need to be aware of that because then even though there is no government mandate, you better be sure that if you're trying to raise a family, don't let anybody try to make you think that, oh, because you're in your early 20s or you're in your mid 20s, you shouldn't be thinking about negotiating it. If you are passionate about where you're going to work and you see yourself working there for at least like, I don't know, 2 years. Some people don't really stay in their jobs as long as they used to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that you should be negotiating before or asking about.
Right.
And if you're asking about it and you're not happy with the responses that you're getting, you should negotiate for it.
Exactly. So like one of my cousins, his girlfriend recently had a baby and we were talking about it like before she had the baby. And I was just like, so what's your vacation time looking like? Like, what's your maternity leave? She's like, my maternity leave is like 2 weeks.
I have
2 weeks
hell?
Of maternity leave. And she's just like, and I just couldn't take vacation. So I have 2 weeks of paid maternity leave. And then the rest of it is just the vacation time that I had that I haven't used. And I'm just going to stack that together. And that's how I'm going to make it work. And it's unfortunate that you have so many women. And again, because women have more flexibility to do that because they'll have the maternity leave. For guys that don't have paternity leave, it's just like, if they want to be home with their kid, they have to use their vacation time. They have to use their sick time, their PTO, whatever the case might be. God forbid they actually have an issue and they no longer have that time anymore.
Well, I'm glad New York made it like illegal to do shit like that. And they have
yeah,
to pay.
New York, it's there. Yeah, on the state level, it's mandatory.
It's mandatory.
But on the federal level, it's not. So you have a lot of states where it's not a thing. And I think, so New York has it mandatory and then, and that's very recent.
Yeah, that's this year.
There's only 3 other states that have paid family leave for men and women. And that's California, New Jersey, and Rhode Island. So shout out to those 3 states for being, honestly, the progressive ones that realize, like, you can't say that the family is the foundation of our society and then not support people that are trying to raise those families. So, like you said, even if you're not engaged, you're not married, you're not pregnant, you're not dating, whatever, if you know that at some point you probably will want to have kids, it's important to bring that up when at the negotiating table.
Yeah.
Say, okay, so it's not just, okay, you get 20 days of vacation time. It's just like, okay, well, what about maternity leave? What about paternity leave? What about paid family leave? Like, what if my kid gets sick? What happens then?
Or find a company that aligns to your values with that kind of stuff. So,
exactly. So you do have a lot of companies. You can like Google it. Forbes every year comes out with a list.
Forbes and
of
Glassdoor.
The top 25.
Definitely.
The top 25 companies that have these great benefits.
Yeah.
And of course, because it comes out with that list, it's just like everyone and their mom is going to be applying to them.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing what other companies are offering gives you leverage when you go to negotiate. And I know we talked about this when we were talking about during the equal pay episode. Benefits are just as important to negotiate as salary. And this is one of those instances. Like, they could meet you at your 6-figure salary requirement, but if you're not getting the time off that you need, then it means nothing.
Yeah, for real. And then what Maddie hasn't alluded to maybe just yet is that with that salary also comes, like, you know, when you separate from a company, there's something called COBRA. And COBRA is, I think, like 10% of what you were making before. COBRA is fucking expensive. Like,
hella expensive. Woo.
Like, paying $1,100, $1,200 a month for full coverage health insurance is a monster.
Yep. But that's a whole nother
beast. That's a whole nother beast in
itself. I don't even want to cover because then that gets into health insurance.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But, like, you need to understand, like, what your options are.
For real.
Because it really sucks when you've been working for this company for all this time and you really like the company, but then your girlfriend just had a kid. And you got to tell her, sorry, babe, I can't be here to support you or to help you with the kid. And I know you're stressed out,
right,
but I have to be back in the office.
Yeah.
And that also affects women and how we're able to progress.
Yeah, because it's not like because I want to leave and I want to go back. That's the reason why. It's just I got to bring in some money.
Yeah.
Like, I need to feed the baby. I need to get these diapers. You know, diapers are expensive. Like, I need to get this. Like the chair for the car, like it's a lot.
It is.
It adds up real fast. So
it adds up, and then it's just like if you can't rely on your partner to be there for you, then you're the one who it's your career that's suffering,
right?
Which sucks. And also, and I know we kept talking about like men and women just like actually having kids, but also for adoption,
right?
We can't forget that. Paid family leave can be used when you're adopting children also.
Yep.
So that's important to know. A lot of people just like skim over that. It's just like, oh man, I got to use up all my vacation time. I can't actually take a vacation because I'm working on this adoption. It's just like, nah, companies are getting with it where they're just like, oh, this is something else that's important to people. So let's offer this. So know what you could request, like know what you could demand. Don't leave anything on the table. When it comes to negotiating, I don't play that.
No.
It's like, okay, so
you got to get yours.
If you're not going to meet me at the salary, let's talk about this vacation time. Is it PTO? Is it fixed? What is it? What happens if I don't use all of it? What happens, like, if I get sick? Like, do you have extended leave? Do you have disability? I'm talking about everything.
You know what?
I also used to work in benefits. So
you know what?
You
like,
know it.
Yeah.
You know, like to wonder if some of these, not some of these, but like if these like the working dads and the working moms thing, if that has any effect on any like postpartum depression stuff, that's I'd like to see if had any inkling in regards to that.
Like, you mean like if they like basically postpartum rate in the U.S. versus other countries that actually get paid?
Like, exactly. Is
that like a thing?
It could,
you know,
very well have, you know, an impact.
If there's a link to that.
If I'm stressed out and wondering about once my maternity leave of 3 weeks runs out,
right,
how am I going to,
exactly,
who's going to take care of my kid? And if I can't find somebody to take care of my kid, like how am I going to like do this? How am I going to manage? It's going to add to it.
Right. Like how would that increase the likelihood of or increasing the risk of having postpartum syndrome? So
we could look that up and post it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm writing it down so that it'll be part of the discussions.
Okay. All right. Well.
Cool. So those were some of our thoughts around work-life balance. If you want to add to it, if you have any questions, want to know some tips about negotiating, if you're about to start your first job, whatever the case might be.
Yeah, you can.
Or even how to go back and negotiate after you've been on the job for a while. Whether it's vacation, whether it's your leave, hit us up.
Yeah, for real.
On Instagram.
Yep.
Let us know.
You could email us. You could write us a letter.
Write us a letter.
Don't send a carrier pigeon because we're not getting that shit.
No.
It won't be able to fly anywhere.
Probably gonna kill it.
This is New York. It's going to get lost in the shuffle.
It's going to make friends and forget.
Pretty much. Yeah.
There are a lot of fat pigeons.
Pony Express.
In New York. Yeah.
Any of that shit. But reach out to us. We're definitely happy to help. And it's been real. Comment, let us know what you thought.
Peace out, peeps.
All right, peace out, Girl Scouts.